Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Colin Blair, who is an MVP in connected systems development and a specialist in WCF RIA services. He works for EKI in Chicago as a senior consultant. Colin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, and glad to have you here. Your area of interest is, am I right, WCF RIA services?
Yes, that's where I spend most of my time in the community.
So can you help us distinguish between those two parts, between WCF and RIA services? They're not one thing, is that correct? They're two different things, but related?
They're both in the same team. And so as the RIA services team likes to say, they aren't built with WCF, they are WCF. But WCF is the base technology for doing web services and other types of communications. And WCF RIA services is a specific type of platform designed for business logic. So if you're writing business logic for your application and you want to use your business logic over a service, then WCF RIA services is what you need to do that.
And let's talk about which platforms that applies to. Is that for Silverlight? Does it extend to other platforms? How does that work?
Well, at the moment, the released client is for Silverlight. You can also attach to it through SOAP and JSON and anything else you can think of. You'd probably have to write it yourself, but it's WCF. You can write it yourself if you want. But for outside of Silverlight and now jQuery, you would have to write your own client-side code to manage your data. For Silverlight and jQuery, you get automated code that's generated for you on the client side that manages your entities for you.
So by including jQuery, does that mean that this would be a valid technology to use with MVC?
That's correct. Anything that's running in an HTML platform, specifically with jQuery, then you can use RIA services.
Okay, so let's talk about a typical scenario of where someone would want to use RIA services.
Okay. A lot of the scenarios are with line of business applications. We like to say if a line of business application is that, one way to differentiate, say a line of business application, a regular application would be that someone's job is to use this application. And so they're going to their workday and they're going to bring this application up and they're going to use it all day long. And this application is probably going to have lots of business logic, lots of security rules. So you want to make sure that a person can only get access to the data that they're supposed to have access to. And they can only change the data that they're supposed to change. And throughout the day, you'll be going through, and there's lots of business rules that are there to say, well, not only is there specific data that they can edit, but they can only change it to specific values based off of, say, how much money they're allowed to allocate out, for example. And when we're doing, when we're using applications across interior boundaries, there's a service boundary there. And it's impossible, when you have a service boundary, you also have a trust boundary. So it's impossible to say, I'm only going to allow a specific client to attach to my business layer. So you have to make sure that all of your business rules are running on the server and not the client so that you have that real good trust and security of your data. But at the same time, on the client side, you want your user to have a good experience. They're going to be going throughout the entire day editing their data, and they don't want to have to be in a situation where they edit a lot of stuff and then they hit save and then something happens and the server blows up and says, oh, you broke all the security rules and you weren't able to do all that stuff. So we want to have a client where as they edit stuff, it immediately tells them, oh, that's wrong, you can't do that. Oh, that's wrong, you can't do that. But we want that at both places. So we want to have that security on the server and security on the client.
So WCF RIA Services is going to help me if I'm building a big end-to-end application where the client side is written in Silverlight or HTML with jQuery, and the back-end server is managing my data and my security. Are there other scenarios where I would want to use RIA services, where it's going to make life easier, where they aren't as big and total consuming an application?
Well, what's nice about RIA services is that it has iQueryable support. So in situations where you have, from the client side, some kind of filtering that you want to do, you can define a filter client side. You can say, for example, give me everybody whose last name starts with B. And that request can be sent to the server, to what we call the domain service, and then that will be translated to a link query and go all the way to your database server. So on your database server, you'll actually get a SQL query running that says select everything that starts with B, and just those results will be sent back to your client. Now, that's within the context of a strong business layer. See, there's other technologies, including other technologies from Microsoft, that can do something like that, that can do iQueryable across a service boundary. So the difference here is that it's always going to be strongly tied to security and business logic. So on the domain service, when we expose what's called a query method to be able to query this data, you can put a partial where statement on there. So you could say that they can only select people who live in Illinois, for example. And so the client's going to say, give me everybody whose last name starts with B. And that's going to get combined with a server-side query that says that they can only be in Illinois. And so you get a query that says, give me everybody whose last name starts with B and who lives in Illinois. And that's the data that you're going to get there on the client. So any situation where you have data that you want to select to your application and you want to make sure that you have server-side restrictions of what data can be displayed, RIA Services is a really good solution for that.
Once again, I'm hearing RIA Services as a solution for larger problems, for enterprise problems, for issues where security or business rules are very, very important.
Yeah, that's really the strong thing there. I mean, you can use it for very simple applications. It's a very efficient platform. So even very small applications where you just have a couple pieces of data you want to get across, it's still really good for that as well.
So what are the alternatives? If I'm using a web service to provide the data, one choice I have is RIA Services. What are my other alternatives within the .NET world?
Well, the first one is plain WCF. And with plain WCF, what you're going to be doing is creating everything yourself. See, with RIA Services, a lot of the client-side code is generated for you. A lot of the server-side code, it's very simple to write because there's a lot of framework already there for you. But with WCF, you're working with the base technology. And from there, you can do anything you want, which also means you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. Another option is WCF data services. The fundamental difference between RIA services and data services is that RIA services is designed to be a business layer. And data services is more of a data layer. It's about taking the data from the database and exposing it as a service. And that's a very powerful thing. It's really good if your primary product that you're trying to create is that service. So if you're going to have lots of different clients trying to attach to your data in different ways, like, say, Excel, for example, and they're going to do a lot of data manipulation, that's a really powerful thing. The difference is that because it's primarily a data layer, it isn't always that good at business. It's not always good at making sure that you only get the data that you want to expose out there. So as an example, with RIA services, you can't change the structure of your entities. The server defines the structure. And because of that, you can put very strict rules on what data will get across the wire. With data services, the client defines what the data looks like and where you got the data from. And that means it's easier to make a mistake and expose data out that you didn't mean to expose. And so just you have to think about it more. And some things are just going to be really difficult.
What's involved in setting up Ria Services and getting that working on your application?
First, what you do is you have to have Ria Services installed. It is installed as part of every version of Silverlight and Silverlight 4. So that's the Silverlight 4 betas, the full release in the SP1 of Visual Studio. Every one of those have installed new versions of Ria Services. There's also an SP2, which came with Silverlight 5. Once you have it installed, then you'll find in your projects a new option in there called a domain service. When you add a domain service to your project, it automatically gets the correct assemblies and sets up your web.config. There is a HTTP handler that is added to your web.config that makes Ria Services work at runtime. But all that's automatically set up for you, and that's what I usually tell people to do. Just add domain service, let Visual Studio do its magic. Once a domain service is created, there's a couple different options. If you're using any framework or link to SQL, there is a what we call the domain service wizard, and it comes up automatically when you create a new domain service in Visual Studio. The wizard is created to help you start with Ria Services. What it does is it displays your entities. Let's say you use the Entity Framework, you would pick which object context you're using. That's where Entity Framework is defined its entities. And you would pick what entities you want in your domain service, and also pick if you're going to want to just be selecting, like just getting the data, or also wanting to update. There's a checkbox next to every entity where you can say whether or not you're going to update it or not. And what you get out of that is a base domain service. It will have what we call CRUD methods. So that's a create, read, update, and delete for every entity. If you didn't click the checkbox, then you only get the read, the get query. So what those are just pretty much examples of what those methods could look like. And when you look at a domain service after you've done that, you'll find that there's a lot of comments sprinkled in the domain service that say to do. Like, to do, you should think about putting security here. And that's because you should not think of the domain service as generated code. Yes, you had a wizard, and technically the file you're looking at was generated by the wizard, but when we usually think of generated code, we think of code that we're not supposed to be changing ourselves. And the domain service is not generated code in that way. It is your code, and you are supposed to be maintaining it. A domain service that's left in its primordial original form is an insecure domain service that really should not be used in any kind of production application. So what you would do is you would go through and you would put attributes on those methods that say requires role. And that's based off of the standard ASP.NET security model that's been around for years. So if you set up your application to use that ASP.NET security model, the domain service automatically picks it up. And you can just go through all the methods, stick on those requires role attributes, and the domain service will automatically enforce them. So if the user who's using the application doesn't have permissions to update something or permissions to get something, then the domain service will not allow them to do that.
All of that sounds great and was very clear. I think that it's a little intimidating. It sounds like there's a fairly steep learning curve to make good use of Ria Services. Is that a fair statement?
I think in many ways it is a fair statement. It's one of those things where it's very, very easy to get started with Ria Services. You can go through, you create your data model, you use the wizard, up pops this domain service, you compile, and suddenly you have access to the entities from the client, and you can do the whole drag and drop development thing, which is pretty much what the original demos of Ria Services showed, was that kind of drag-and-droppy way to create a Silverlight application in 1 hour. And it's really great for demos, but the thing about Ria Services is that it is extremely deep. It can do that very shallow thing, but it can also go very, very deep. You can do a lot of stuff. I mean, basically, A domain service can be as complicated as your application is. And I think that's a very good thing. I don't like it when we get technology which is really good at doing that hour-long demo and really good at doing that specific application. But when we hit real life and we hit real applications, we start hitting roadblocks because it really isn't capable of doing any more than that.
Fair enough. And certainly we've all been frustrated by great demo that is not followed up by something that you can use when you get back to the office to build a real application. I hear what you're saying, that via services, although you can get started quickly to really develop any expertise, is a big investment in time paid off by a flexible platform. Are there other technologies that are typically coupled with RIA services?
Well, like I said, I mentioned Entity Framework. An important thing to understand about RIA services is that it is not a DAO, so it depends on other products to be a data access layer. Typically, that is Entity Framework because that is the default DAO for Microsoft. It also supports Link to SQL. A lot of the developers at Microsoft who worked on RIA services also worked on Link to SQL. So it's not much of a surprise that they made sure that Link to SQL was supported by RIA services.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you there because you said that its target is Silverlight and that it works with Link to SQL. And so that forces me to ask whether there is RIA services or anything like it for Windows Phone.
It's a good question. The initial release of Windows Phone did not have full support for Link and custom Link that RIA services really required for its original Silverlight client. So I'm waiting to hear what's going to happen with newer releases of the phone. It all depends on if that base level Silverlight 4 functionality that RIA services was using is available or not. And I don't know that answer.
You said that one of the services that it certainly interacts with a good bit is Entity Framework. Can you do Entity Framework code first with RIA services?
Soon. I don't know what soon means. I know that the team has mentioned on Twitter that they are extremely close to having it working. With Entity Framework, RIA services has the ability to pull stuff out of the model for us. So it's able to say what's required and associations between objects and that kind of thing. It's able to automatically pull those out of the model for us. And to get code first working, they have to write some code that's able to get the code first entities and pull out that same information for us. And so that's what they're working on.
You confused me just a little bit there. What is it able to pull out right now? Where is it getting that from?
Well, when you create an Entity Framework model, let's say you're doing database first. That's what I typically do. I'm an old-time DBA, so I tend to be a database first kind of guy. So I create my tables in the database, and then I create my Entity Framework model based off those tables. And when that happened, the model has inside it what fields are nullable in the database, what fields are not nullable in the database. It knows what fields are the keys, what fields are timestamp fields, or row version fields.
And this is all based on the tables and the structure that's already in the database.
Right. So, and the association between objects, which means like one-to-many relationships and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So because all that's in the model, when a domain service is compiled and when a domain service is used at runtime, it looks in the metadata of the model itself to find that information out. So if it sees that a particular field is nullable or is not nullable, then it knows that it's required. It automatically puts a validation rule on that field to say this is a required field. So we don't have to explicitly tell it that. It just knows it based off the model.
And again, just to be explicit, when you say it does, do you mean RIA Services does or do you mean Entity Framework does?
RIA Services does.
Okay. So all that extraction and intelligence and creating the model from the database, that's all being done by RIA services.
Right. So that's what's missing right now in the code first, because the model for any framework isn't there with code first. It's in a different format. So they have to write some code that would duplicate what they were doing with the current versions of EF to do it with the code first version of EF.
And when you go and do presentations on VIA services, are you finding that the folks who you're talking to have a good sense of how this all fits together, or are they struggling with what are these pieces and which piece is doing what?
The biggest problem I think we have is with that wizard, you know, the wizard I was talking about earlier that you actually use to create your initial domain service. We get a lot of people who get fixated on that wizard and keep trying to regenerate domain services every time they make a change in the model. So because of that, the wizard is there because we want to make it easy to get that initial app up so that you can see how the entire app works from beginning to end and see something on screen. I think that's an important thing for anybody trying to learn stuff. But the problem is that they're not learning it as a business layer then. They're just learning it as a data access layer. And to really get into it correctly, that's been a hard thing for us to get people to understand.
All right, so let's draw a verbal picture of the stack, which starts with a database at the bottom, so presumably SQL Server, SQL Server CE, or any number of other databases.
And basically, we don't care what the database is, because that's up to the DAO to decide. So I didn't mention it before, but it could be in Hibernate, it could be absolutely anything. From the VIA services perspective, we don't care.
Okay. And then immediately above the database is going to be the data access layer. And typically that would be something like Entity Framework. But right. might it be at that point WCF Data Services, or would that be redundant?
That would mostly be redundant, although it definitely could be done. It could even be POCOS. The base domain service, there's three versions of the domain service. There's domain service itself, and there's a link to SQL, and then there is a link to Entity for Entity Framework. But the base domain service basically just sees everything as POCOS, plain old CR objects. So if you can get an object in your project, and you can get something marked with a key attribute, that's really the only real rule. Real services only deals with entities, and by entity we mean something that has a primary key, which is a key attribute on that field, then domain service will work with it.
So VIA services is not concerned with how you get the data out of the database, nor does it give you any assistance there. You get this data. The data is now in the form of an entity, which is an object with a primary key. And then VIA services is going to help you with the database logic, the business logic, I should say, and things having to do with security and authentication and also correctness of the data. Is that...
Yep.
A good summary of what we're talking about?
Yes, that's a very good summary.
Okay. And as an MVP for this, are you talking about this at various conferences, or are you meeting with local groups, or are you consulting with businesses on this, or how do you spend your time working on VIA services?
Most of my time is spent on the Silverlight forums. There is a WCF VIA services group in the Silverlight forums. And that's pretty much the primary place where people go for help, and that's where I spend most of my time. I have done a couple talks here and there. I personally, since I'm located in Springfield, Illinois, find it very difficult to get in person anywhere. It's just too expensive and too far. But I am willing. But beyond that, I spent a lot of time actually talking with the team, the VIA services team there at Microsoft, who's very interested in what the community needs. And so we work very tightly with them, helping get what the next version of VIA services is going to be.
And who are some of the primary players on the VIA services team?
Well, we got Dinesh Kulkarni. The lead programmer is Jeff Hanley, and there's also Kyle McClellan, who was also on the Link the Sequel team originally, along with Dinesh.
And how much has the work that they're doing and the product that they're building, how much has that changed since Brad Abrams was involved?
I think a lot of the base technology, the base design is still there. I think some of the direction has changed. Over time, originally, Rio Services was created along with the data grid and the data form. They were all part of the same project there at Microsoft. They're created about how to create line of business applications using Silverlight. And as they reached different stages, they started tearing apart into other projects. So the data form and the data grid moved into the Silverlight team. Around the time that Brad left, the Rio Services team moved from the Silverlight team over to the WCF team, WCF group there at Microsoft. So they originally were part of Silverlight, and now they're not. With them moved into the different team, it's been a stronger focus on how Rio Services can be used in more than just Silverlight. So the first thing we're seeing here is with jQuery. We're getting Rio Services and jQuery now, and I think in the future we'll see Rio Services showing up in more platforms and being in more places.